in volume 2 of the series Understanding God's Way in Marriage, volume 2, Towards Heaven on Earth in Marriage, and this tape is on faithfulness. The initial message is a direct recording of a message by Dr. Creflo Dollar, an apostle of God, as part of a series of three sets of six tapes each, entitled Faithfulness, The Power Connection. The tape that is recorded here is simply the first tape in the first set of the series. There are another 17 tapes, I think it is, in the complete series. The reason for including this particular tape in the series is that faithfulness is an absolutely critical aspect of marriage. If we cannot be faithful to our spouses, we find ourselves in adultery. We find our marriages failing. If we cannot be faithful to God, we cannot serve Him. This particular series of tapes, the three sets of tapes, I was led by the Spirit of God to purchase at the time that I was, just before I started recording this series, as I went into the first of four 3-day fasts over a period of about 40 days. And as I was listening to these tapes, I was immensely convicted. Faithfulness is a dimension, another dimension of the love of God. You will see this tying in very closely to the previous messages on love, and particularly the message based on Creflo Dollar's book, Lord, Teach Me How to Love. And I would urge you to listen very carefully to this message. And I pray that it will be a blessing to you, and I would encourage you to obtain the entire set from Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Thank you so much for invading our lives with your presence and with your wisdom, for invading our lives with your power and with your anointing. Now, Lord, as we continue to practice and train in yielding to you, as we continue to practice in hearing you and flowing with you and following you, we know that it is your desire and it is your plan to lead us into greatness and promotion. Lord, we have dwelt too long on this mountain. It is time to move off this mountain and get on a higher mountain, glory to God. We just worship you and we magnify your name and we take great joy. Great joy in coming into your presence, coming before your glory, and realizing that you are alive and that you are manifesting yourself on the inside of us. We give you praise. And with every day that we practice your presence and we come to know you more and more and more, just let us know that we truly are the head and not the tail, and we'll never be beneath. So God, we give you praise. We thank you that our ears are anointed to hear your word, and that our spirits are going to perceive and get a hold of what thus saith the Lord this night. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and the church said amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Turn around and greet two or three of your neighbors, and you can take your seat. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Well, tonight we you know, we're doing some training, amen? And Guess I ought to talk about that a little bit. I don't want to frustrate anybody. But there are some great, mighty things that God wants to get to you. He wants to get to us. And we can continue to make excuses for the lack of fruit that's being produced in our lives. I mean, you can do that, or you can find out what's wrong and make the correction and bear the fruit. And you know, religion is a devil. Let me say that again. Religion is a devil. It'll have you operating in form, but no power and no result. And so my main concern and the thing that I'm really just going to be pushing for as we continue to get out of debt and all this other stuff is that, you know, supernatural debt deliverance, like supernatural healing, is always going to be based on a holy lifestyle. Now listen to me. And, you know, somehow or another, we think that when we become churchy, then somehow or another that God will excuse our willful sin. There are some things that ought not be named amongst the body of Christ. There are some things that ought not be done in the body of Christ. And I'm going to tell you the truth, man. You know, since I've been back and just been briefed by my staff, I am appalled at some of the sin that's happening in the church. Well, let me go and be specific. It's World Changers Ministry. The church and that World Changers right here. And there's no way in heaven that I'm going to allow the devil to bring those devilish spirits back into this church. It ain't going to happen. Ain't gonna happen. Adultery will stop you from prospering in things of God. You listen to me now, because you're gonna hear a lot about adultery until we drive it out. But I'm not gonna tolerate it. I'm not gonna tolerate it amongst my staff, and you know, I'm not gonna tolerate it amongst my leadership. Now, you can be coming to church, and of course, we can help you get delivered, but adultery, you can't do that. And I don't know whether if I hadn't preached on it enough, but if you're married, you're obligated to be faithful. I don't care what that is. There's a right way to do things. You don't go spread your legs for some other guy because your husband ain't treating you right. Or neither do you go and get some other woman because your wife ain't treating you right. That ain't how you handle that. Honey, you're endangering your life. You'd be glad you ain't dead, because we got the body of Christ sleeping with the body of Christ and committing fornication with Jesus, and we're thinking anything wrong with it. Now, you better put your hearts on hold or to kill you. It's not right. It's not God. I thought I'd let you know, and I'll let the other sessions know on Sunday. It ain't right. That's a spirit. And that spirit, like lust and lasciviousness and homosexuality, for some reason, that thing spreads through churches. It'll start, next thing you know, you got another adulterous affair. In some of the early situations in our church, you get that homosexual spirit. Next thing you know, you look around and you got things that spread everywhere. No, not as long as I'm alive and pastoring this church, we'll seek you out and we'll kill you, because you're not going to affect the rest of life. We've come too far. We have to figure some things out. Now, I know it ain't easy all the time, and I know there are things and challenges that come in your life, but folks, you do what's right because it's right. And I don't care what it is. I know there are challenges everybody goes through. You're not the only one. There's not one man in here that doesn't have an opportunity to sin. Everybody got an opportunity to sin. Every man in here has an opportunity to cheat on his wife. What's the difference? The men that are faithful to God choose not to. And that's where the real issue is. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Somebody said, oh, I thought we were going to talk about adultery. No, we're going to talk about the root of adultery, the root of sin, the root of slothfulness, the root of all of the stuff is dealing with faithfulness to God. It's the third thing that the Lord dealt with me on in my fast was faithfulness. I want you to listen to this very carefully tonight. You know, we understand how important it is to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. How many of you are getting an understanding of the fellowship time? It ought to change your life. It should just absolutely change your life. I mean, you ought to be like a new person spending the time with the Spirit of God. And then we talked about how to be alone with God. How many of you have been spending time alone with God? Boy, it's sweet, man. I mean, you spending time alone with God after hearing teaching on it, you know you ain't wasting your time. It's an awesome thing to spend that time alone with God and to come out equipped and anointed and ready for the task at hand. Well, the last area was faithfulness. You can't take a man or a woman of God in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that was anointed by God and not see the area of faithfulness. How they had the opportunity to sin. Moses made it very clear. He said, look, man, he said, I would rather serve God than to serve sin for a season, you see. And folks, everybody has the opportunity to serve sin. You just got to determine if you're going to serve it or not. Who are you going to serve? Well, I choose to serve God. You understand what I'm saying? It's a choice. I choose to serve God. Now, in serving God, it's going to require faithfulness. It's going to require me being faithful. You know, I'm kind of tired of everybody looking for, you know, a little pat on the back because you see it. Oh, bless your heart. It's going to be all right. You know, I said I wasn't going to use that word. I got convicted by it. See, I need another word. Joker? You can't be going around. you can't do that. I mean, your faithfulness is towards God. And you're faithful towards God. Now, in the Old Testament, before the blood of Jesus and mercy and grace and stuff like that, there were consequences for action. I mean, Moses got angry and arrogant. And when he got angry and arrogant, I mean, just lost his sister. He's old. And in the middle of the funeral, they won't go complain. We thirsty. All right, you thirsty? Doggone it. These old stiff-necked people. I can't even, you know, bury my sister without you complaining. You want water? Give them water, God. Turn around the rock and the water didn't come out. And he took his staff and just hit that thing. Now, most people thought, well, that was spiritual. No. God had a problem with that. And the reason why God had a problem with that is because his arrogance. You know, Moses, the mighty man of God, opened the Red Sea and all the great things that God used him through. So he wouldn't wait and allow God to show his faithfulness to the children of Israel. He turns around out of anger and arrogance, and he hit that rock. Bam! Give him water! Bam! And the water came out of it. There! Now take it! Well, wait a minute. God said, there's got to be consequences for that. See, I tell you what, they're going into the promised land. You'll see it, but you won't enter in. And I'm thinking, you know, he was paralyzed for that. And what we're thinking, we don't even see the power of the blood and the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ for some of the stuff we do. We got folks down in India right now today because they're standing up for the right of Christianity, and you get upset because somebody talks about you. They're losing their lives. Right now, today. Right now, today. And God's already dealt with my heart about, you know, year 2000 in India and told me that'd be a perfect time for me to go to India. I've had lots of invitations to go, but God said, not now, not now, not now. See, I'm too bold to be going to India with what they're doing right now. God's got to figure out something before I get over there. Because it'll be on the news, man. Quite a low dollar. Come on! In court now without a fight, you know. We take so much for granted. And And when I begin to look at all this stuff in the time of prayer, here's what the Lord began to show me about Abraham. Here's what Abraham. I mean, think about what Abraham went through. You know, trying to believe God for this kid. Faithful to God. Think about what Noah went through. What, 120 years? It's going to rain. It's going to rain. Ha, they laughed at him, scorned him. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. Faithful. Faithful. Look at Isaac and Jacob. We will not bow down to idols. Why? We're faithful to God. We're already committed to Him. This one word, faithful. Faithfulness will take you so far with God. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking now, God, because here's what I was fasting and praying over. I want to know the power connection. One of them, of course, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Then spending time along with God. Everybody that operated strong anointing and power, fellowship with God and spent time along with God. But then this third thing kind of caught me off until I began to study the word faithfulness. It's a power connection. And if a man can understand what it is, you know, we talk about being faithful to the church. We talk about being faithful to the department. We talk about being, you know, faithful to this and faithful to that. But folks, the reason why you're failing in faithfulness in other areas is because we hadn't got the first area of faithfulness down, and that is faithful to God. When I am faithful to God, honey, I'm not going to sin. When I'm faithful to God, I'm going to be faithful to my church. When I'm faithful to God, you ain't got to worry about me, you know, not attending and doing this, because my faithfulness is towards God. Now, that motivates my faithfulness in every other area. You know, you're trying to be faithful to a man and hadn't been faithful to God. Don't be faithful to God. You can't be faithful. You can't be faithful to your pastor until you, first of all, are faithful to God. Because your vertical relationship is going to determine your horizontal relationship. So if there's no faithfulness towards God, then, honey, you are going to be subject to be unfaithful to your wife, unfaithful to your friends, unfaithful to your church, unfaithful to your ministry, because you ain't faithful to God. Now, listen to this. And until you resolve faithfulness to God, you're going to always be a person with a question mark over your head. And the question is, will they pass the test? And I'm telling you, we can eliminate that. We're godly people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. Not weird, but peculiar. We don't do like everybody else do. Faithful. Faithful to God. And so on this third step, I heard it very loud and clear. Son, if you want to go to the next level, how do you know there's another level? I mean, wherever you are, I'm telling you, there's another level. It can be great in your life, but there's another level. Some of y'all said, I need that next level. Honey, there is another level. That level is waiting on you. But you know what's going to get you to the next level? Faithfulness to God. Can God rely on me? Can God trust me? And listen, let me make it plain. Can God trust me to keep His word? Can God trust me to say no to sin? Can God trust me? You know, in the old days, they wouldn't bow down to the Pharaoh. They wouldn't bow down to me. You know what they said? They said, I can't bow down because it's against my belief. It's faithful to God. Well, He'll kill you. He has to kill me then. I'm faithful to God. Now, He's got to kill me because I am that faithful to God that I will not bow down to another man. So they're willing to put their life on the line because of their faithfulness. What are you willing to put on the line for your faithfulness towards God? What are you willing to put on the line for your faithfulness towards God? That when the opportunity to sin comes, you don't sit up there and struggle with, you know, must turn it into a flesh war. Ow. Here's what you do. I'm sorry, I'm faithful to God. I can't do that, I'm faithful to God. No, I can't go there, I'm faithful to God. No, my faithfulness to God won't let me do that. Sorry, want some reefer? No, faithful to God. Yeah. See, my faithfulness to God now makes it easier for me to say no all that other stuff because I don't want to disappoint this God who I've been fellowshipping with, who I've been spending alone with. And I remind myself, at the pressure times of temptation that I am faithful to God. And because I am faithful to God, now I am faithful to my wife. Because I'm faithful to God, now I'm faithful to my husband.
But you don't understand what I've been going through. I needed a man.
No, you need a butt whooping. I mean, you know, here's the pitiful part about it, that unsaved people who don't even have the Holy Spirit, some of them demonstrate a better life of faithfulness than people who have the Spirit of God and the Word of God on the inside of them. There's certain things that an unsaved person wouldn't do. Just from good home training, he wouldn't do. Being faithful to his home training. And we have the Spirit of God. We have the one who said, let there be light. It should be easy for us to be faithful to a God like we got. Look at the God we got. Woke you up this morning. Hey.
Look at the God we got. Look at the God we got.
And we have problems being faithful to this kind of God. A loving, kind, sensitive God. Are you following where I want to go here tonight? Faithfulness to him will resolve a lot of struggles and debates and battles inwardly that you have. You'll resolve those because it's automatic. It's no longer pressure. You already made your mind up. Now I can't go there. I can't do that because I'm faithful to God. I you know, there's just certain things that my commitment, my loyalty won't allow me to do. There is a line that I won't cross. And in the lives of most Christians, you need to get those boundaries. Where's the line where you won't cross? You're dangerous if you do anything. Where's the line that you won't cross? You know, I have my family of sons in the ministry have just grown and grown and grown. And there was one time where I was flying all over the country because they couldn't seem to figure out who they were supposed to be sleeping with. So I had to go and tell them who they're supposed to be sleeping with. Yeah, but you don't understand the secretary. Get you an ugly secretary. Or somebody that's not attractive to you. You don't need to be getting on nice looking, seductive. And there's certain things I won't allow my staff to wear. I don't allow no woman working on my staff to come in there with a dress look like it's been painted on and all this. Way up here in high heels and big long fingernails and hey. No. You got to go somewhere with all that. Why? Because we're representing my God. Representing my God.
Faithfulness to God. I better get started here. I think you know where we're going, right?
So, you know, as a pastor, I'm trying to get the church trained, so I'm taking every available opportunity to address all of the issues by doing what we're doing here. Look at Luke chapter 6. And there's something here about, you know, every Christian wants God to show up and do what he promised. Amen? Every Christian wants God to manifest himself. Every Christian wants to see results. Well, why is that not so? What is it that we are not doing for God to be faithful when we really need it? You know, I need to know that, honey, if I'm on an airplane that's going down, I need to know that God's going to be faithful to me. I don't need to be wondering. That is not the time for me to wonder if God's going to show up. I need to know that he's going to show up. Look at Luke chapter 6, and I want to start at verse 36. I want you to notice something here. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Check it out. He said, you be merciful and then your Father will be merciful. Watch this. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. What do you notice here? Huh? You know, give and it shall be given.
Go over to Mark 11. Let's just look in the hall of it right quick. Mark 11, verse 25. It says, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that's your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. There's a pattern here, folks. If you don't judge others, God says, I won't judge you. You don't condemn others, God said, I won't condemn you. He says, if you'll forgive others, God says, I'll forgive you. There's a pattern going on here. And then now check this out in James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Are you seeing a pattern here? Talk to me about this pattern. What are you seeing? Well, it seems to me that it very simply says, if you do, he do. And then it goes back and it also says, if you don't, he don't. So it seems to me God's movement in my life is based on my movement in my life. If I forgive, what happens? He forgives. If I condemn not, what happens? He's not going to condemn me. If I judge not, what happens? He won't judge me. If I give, what happens? He'll make sure that it's given unto me. And I'm going to say this statement, it's going to be hard on the flesh. But whatever you don't have right now, you didn't deposit. There's a reason why. It's almost like you've got to look at yourself. Well, what about this issue we're talking about here? God being faithful to me. Faithful to me that when I pray, I get answers. He's faithful enough to answer my prayer. Faithful enough to me that when I lay hands on the sick or when I do this or do that, then God does what he's supposed to do and what he promised. Faithful. I have to have him doing it. If he don't do it, then, you know, I can't do it by myself. So I got to have him showing and demonstrating faithfulness in my life. I need God to be faithful to me. Now you imagine what it must have took for Moses to go before the Red Sea and God, this is the only thing God said, stretch the rod out. Now it's not, it didn't happen like on the Ten Commandments, time he stretched it out, dun, 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 dun. Brother was there for a while. He was stretching that rod out, the wind was building up. Children of Israel were cold, like, what's up? Everybody was trying to figure out what's going on. The wind kept building up, but it was just sitting up there obeying God. Just being faithful, obeying God. And the more Moses would demonstrate his faithfulness to God, the more God would show up, more wind, more wind, more wind. And it was faithfulness to God that caused God to be faithful to Moses and the children of Israel, and the Red Sea opened. See, we got this fair test. I want you to notice, if you were there right then, here's Moses, wind building up. You got a wind coming. I mean, almost like a hurricane coming. And that wind all of a sudden parts that water. No wonder it was dry. See, the wind dried it off. Imagine how strong that wind had to be to dry the dry ground off. Suck that moisture clean out of that ground. They walked over, didn't have no muddy feet. But now, faithfulness toward Moses' faithfulness to God harvested God's faithfulness to Moses. I want to know that God is faithful to me at gunpoint. How many of you would like to know that God don't be there? It's not the time to be figuring out, I see it last night, or whoops. You know what I mean? You need to know God gonna be there. You need to know God gonna be there. When they told me in New York that some guy tried to plot some thing that's fascinate me or shoot me or something. I don't know why folks mess with me, but God's faithful. It don't matter because he's faithful. I can't afford to live my life where God is not faithful. Thank you. I can't afford to do that because I need him. In him we move and breathe and have our being. I gotta have it. I can't be playing the games and then looking around and wondering, well, is God real? But God must not be real because ain't nothing happened yet. I've been giving and giving and sowing and sowing. I don't see nothing yet. I've been praying and praying. Ain't nothing happened yet. Oh, you're floating around now. You haven't problems because you don't see God as in the faithful God. Well, let's go right back to you. Have you been the faithful servant? Brother, would you pray for me? Oh, you don't even have faith in your own prayers. Why? Because you hadn't done what you're supposed to do to harvest the faithfulness of God. And I want us to harvest the faithfulness of God. I want you and I to harvest the faithfulness of God to such a point. Thank you, brother. I receive that. To harvest the faithfulness of God to such a point that you know He's going to be there when you need Him without a second guess. Well, how can I have that confidence? Because I know I've been there when He needed me. When He said, go, I went. When He said, jump, I said, how high? You understand what I'm saying? I became His servant. And He says, a steward must, first of all, you know, the Message translated, a guide must be reliable. That's what He said. God must be reliable. Are you reliable? Can God trust you to be reliable? Thank you. Can He trust you? How reliable are you? You're not reliable to the people that you know. You know why? Because you ain't reliable to God. Whatever's going on vertically is a result of what's happening horizontally. Lift your hands up. Everybody, lift your hands up right now. Lift your hands up. Somebody says, I don't know if I'm ready to make this decision. Too bad. We're going to make it. Say it out loud. Father,
Father,
I pledge my faithfulness
to you
right now in the name of Jesus, and receive your faithfulness to me in the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. Now you have to walk in that. You got to walk in that, man. You got to walk in that. Now let's look at some scripture. Now, you know, first thing I'm thinking about is, you know, is this faithfulness, can faithfulness be that powerful to produce such a connection that I can actually be blessed for my faithfulness, or am I having to wait till I get to heaven in the sweet by and by on the other side of Jordan? You understand what I'm saying? I want to know if my faithfulness is going to do something for me right now. What will my faithfulness produce for me right now? Proverbs 28. What will my faithfulness produce for me right now? You know, we're talking about getting out of debt. You know, God is faithful in getting people out of debt. But is He faithful in getting you out of debt? Well, it all depends on how faithful you are. Check it out. Verse 20, right? Read it with me. A faithful man shall abound in blessing. Well, they got that. That just tells me right here that as a faithful man, I will. Do y'all understand what it means, abounding? That's a serious word. I mean, that's a overwhelming type of word. That's a flood you over, run you over kind of type of word. You understand? That's a lavish type of word. That a faithful man will abound in blessing. That means the man just rolling in it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, the guy blessed going in, blessed coming out, blessed to the left, blessed to the right, blessed when he sit down, blessed when he stand up. When he go to New York, he blessed. When he go to Florida, he blessed. When he in the Tang, Tang, Tang Sea, he blessed. The man just blessed all the time. Why? Because of his faithfulness to God. That a faithful man abounds in blessings. A faithful man. And you believe in God to get you out of debt. Do you know what? You know what will call God on the scene quicker than anything? It's your faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to not owe God anything and not get in debt with God. We're always having to go and, well, God, I owe you repentance here. And God, I owe you this, that, and I owe you that. And Lord, forgive me that and all that. No, our time with God should not be 15, 20 minutes of Lord, forgive me. It ought to be 15 or 20 minutes of Lord, thank you. Ooh, that was good. And Lord, I appreciate that. You know, and God is so ready to show His faithfulness towards you. But it's hard for God to do that when there is never any faithfulness shown towards Him. Sometimes we take Him for granted. Well, the Lord did it. He's supposed to. No, He ain't supposed to do nothing but what He said. Did you hear what I said? He was supposed to remember what He said. A faithful man abounds in blessings. That's an S, folks. In blessings. That's anointings. That's prosperity. That's healing. That's deliverance. that's peace, that's happiness, that's joy. It's the life that you say, is it getting better, Lord? Or it's the freaking life. You understand? I got to find out where that came from. It's a life. It's the abundant life he promised you. But how do you get it? Faithful. I'm faithful to God. I'm faithful to God. Oh, boy. I'm faithful to God. When nobody else will, here's the question. Will you? If God can't depend on nobody else, can he depend on you? You understand what I'm saying? I asked the Lord about that. I said, God, you know, the gifts and callings of God are given without repentance. I recognize that, and I know you call who you will and all that stuff. I said, but Lord, how come I had to have two or three callings on my life? How come I just couldn't be all pastor or all evangelist, one or the other? How come I got to pastor and evangelize, prophesize, and apostolize? You know, why can't we just keep dealing with one of them? He said, because, I never had any more problem after he told me this. He said, there's other people who's supposed to be doing this, but won't. And you're the only one I can find faithful enough to get the job done until I can get somebody else to do it. Now, God spoke to me several months ago this year, and he says, I'm about to relieve you from some of this. I found some faithful men. And I'm going to tell you something. Lots of faithful people. You know, if I don't have to go do it no more, somebody going to have to go do it. You understand what I'm saying? I know where my original calling was. My original calling was pastoring folks and training folks. I get into that. I get a high off of it, man. I get a high off, you know, going in there and fighting the devil and straightening the thing out. It looked like it was going to be a catastrophe. Like everybody's life was going to be messed up. Bam, man. It's better than it was before. I get high off that. I like that stuff. I like it. Here I come in the office, and you sit up like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And that word come out, bam! And everybody get quiet. And then they break. When that little tear come out, you know you got them in. They break. Everybody gets saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Their whole life changed. They start prospering. You see them a year down the road. They don't look like the same folks you talk to. And you're like, man, that's what I'm talking about. That's what you live for, you know? And then yet you get on the road in evangelism, and they flood the altar with hundreds of folks like what happened in Los Angeles, and you don't want to leave. Instead of then, your heart goes off of them. You want to minister to them all night long. Well, God knew that. You remember the reason he said he called Abraham? He said, I called Abraham because I knew he'd be faithful and teach it to his children. How come it took him so long to find one Abraham? He said, I needed somebody that was going to be faithful enough to teach it to his children. And then there'll be sometimes, there have been times in my life where God said, I need you to help me in something, will you? And I said, well, Lord, what is it? There's a situation over here that I can't get nobody to help me with because all of the preachers have allowed the law to block up my mercy. Will you help me? And he sent me out to see a guy who had been advertised. You went with me. We went out there to Texas to see the guy right before we got in jail. That thing blessed and changed that man's life. In fact, I went there with the man's salvation, but he wouldn't listen to me and hear me. He did what he wanted to do, and that's the only reason he went to jail. Could have saved that at the same time. But none of the preachers, and that includes me, because I believe when I got the invitation the first time, I said, I ain't going that. I said, no, I don't have nothing to do with that. And the Lord said, no, I need you to help me. Nobody else won't go. How else can I get the man to repent if nobody will go to show him love? Will you help me in this? Yes, sir. And every time you do that kind of stuff, God says, oh, I can depend on you. And you know what he's saying at the same time when he says, oh, I can depend on you? You know what he's saying? You know what he's saying? You can depend on me. So when God wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, can he depend on you to get up? Because obviously he's tried to get somebody else up, but they wouldn't get up. Can he depend on you? One of his servants is around the country somewhere, and they need prayer. And God says, I need somebody that's faithful. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, a faithful man, who can find? He's searching for somebody that he can depend on, somebody that's reliable. Oh, yeah, I was waiting for the Spirit of God to bring this up to me, and I'm going to go ahead and do it. I told the Lord I won't do it unless he brought it up, and he just brought it up in my spirit. Be careful not to allow excuses to become the rope that you use to climb out of the perfect will of God for your life. Watch me very carefully. But training involves making you do it, somebody challenging you to do it. You have that sergeant up there, and he doesn't bend to the left, he doesn't bend to the right for the sake of the people. He says, well, bless God, we're going to do this thing, we're going to do it. And he's as solid as a flint, you understand? And you know, I took it to a little bit to a degree that was a little too much, but
boy, I was trained up on that principle. Here's one phrase that the Lord gave me that I used to train some of the leaders we have right now today. A little phrase that simply says, why is irrelevant. Now, that's kind of hard. But it was an awesome type of thing. Check it out now. Why is irrelevant? We have to be careful because we'll set a goal, and then when we don't reach it, or we'll say we're faithful, and then when we fail, we have a tendency to come out of it with an excuse. Well, the reason why. And so the excuse becomes our avenue to walk out of our faithfulness. And we think, well, we're okay, God, because here's the reason why I couldn't be faithful. You know, Lord, surely you understand, because here's the reason why I couldn't be faithful. But now here's what I want you to see. Regardless of the reason why, faithfulness still was not obtained. Why it wasn't obtained is still irrelevant. The goal wasn't reached. The destination wasn't reached. Now you can come up with all of the excuses of why it wasn't reached. The bottom line, it wasn't reached. Now I tell you what, that'll train you. That'll discipline you. Because what happens is you come up with this really important excuse. Well, I was late because I had a flat tire. Okay, you had a flat tire. But you still didn't fulfill the objective. But I had a flat tire, but you still didn't fulfill the objective. The objective still wasn't there to fulfill. Oh, well, that's just me. No. You've got to understand what it means to be faithful. A faithful man says, I gotta run and leave a tie. Come back and get it later. I got to fulfill the goal. Because regardless of what happened to my car, I didn't fulfill the goal. That'll get you established. That'll get you disciplined. That'll get you ready for the things of God. I mean, I can see right now, you know, Moses, or let's use somebody, Abraham, you know, God tell him to go up to the mountain and get ready to kill his son. And he said, Abraham, don't kill your son. And Abraham said, let's go and kill him. Bless God, why waste the time? Abraham, I told you to stop. Boy, God, I was emotional. I really got emotional about this. That's the reason why I didn't stop, is because I was really into it. It's irrelevant. There was a goal. You missed the mark. You know where I'm going with this now. You missed the mark. Why you missed the mark is irrelevant. And you are going to be able to come up with pages of reasons why you missed the mark. But do you realize that heaven will operate by what I've just said? Why is irrelevant? There'll be millions of people on their way to hell telling God why.
thousands of people that missed heaven that have a reason why.
But all God knows was, I planted a destiny for your life, and you never arrived.
And so I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you by, you know, the weight of your excuses. I'm not going to judge you by the weight of your reasons. Well, I've got a good reason. Ain't no such thing as no good excuse. And that's what the world's conditioned us. There's a such thing as a good excuse.
No. We've got to focus in on the objective.
Did I reach it and did I fulfill it? Because whether the excuse in your mind's eye is good or bad, you still have an unfulfilled objective that didn't get fulfilled. Now what? Somebody's life on the line. Somebody needs to be saved. Somebody needs to be delivered. Somebody needs to be prayed for. God has set you up for it. He planted you for that very destiny. But you never got there. So heaven is not going to be wasting the time of going through or sorting through all the excuses to try to figure out why. God will only judge you based on that which he called you to do.
Well, Lord, I didn't understand. You know, I gave you all the reasons and all the places. I put a black man there that, and all you're getting didn't understand it. But you didn't want to go because you didn't like hear him talk about money all the time.
I will go, but see, your butt was in your way the whole time. And it stopped you. See, all of the excuses, come up with some more. Oh, but my baby was sick. He said, I was the healer. Oh, but they were turning my lights off. Oh, I was the provider. I mean, imagine you standing before the I Am God.
Let me see, what was that? Oh, yeah, I think the 195th time I was getting ready to quit. Check this out, man. Never had a vision like this before in my life. I hadn't had too many visions. Had the vision of this church and maybe two others. Very, very clear where you could almost look like you can reach and touch them. I mean, the visions where I open my eyes and it's still going on. I mean, that'll freak you out. You got the eyes closed and you open and it's like, whoa, what's up?
And I saw myself coming into heaven. And the gates opened and the angels turned their back, their wings. Like in disgrace. And I approached the throne of God. And I heard these words, faithless servant, vision incomplete. That's not what I heard he's supposed to say. I've always heard he's supposed to say, my good and faithful servant, well done. But you know, I didn't reach my destiny. I was so busy trying to figure out how to die early. Because I was tired of people. You try to do them right, and they do you wrong. Talking about me, and all I want to do is love them. Doggone it, kill all of them. That's not going to excuse the fact that I didn't do what God told me to do. God gave me an assignment. He gave me a destiny. All of my hurts, all of my pains, all of my discouragement, all of the attacks on my body, all of everything still won't matter. I didn't reach my destiny. Now here's why it's such a serious thing in heaven. Look who you got heffing you. Thank you. If you did not have the heifer that you had, then maybe we might listen to your excuses. But how you got an excuse and had a Holy Ghost at the same time?
God, I couldn't do that because of a flat tire. And he put the anointing on Elijah to outrun the chariot, and he beat whatever that guy king was in the Jezreel, whipped him, and the guy had his best horses and chariots out there, and the anointing got on him. See, baby, any time you want to reach your destiny, God has enough anointing and enough faithfulness based on your faithfulness. It's something about a man who continues to be faithful against all odds that opens up the faithfulness of God to anoint him to do whatever said cannot be done. God, I know what I'm talking about, man. Simple. Tenacity. A doggonedness that refuses to accept defeat. I will not quit. Won't quit. But certain times that the attacks on my body could have took me if I hadn't proceeded on. I could have laid up in that hospital with that meningitis and let it just do whatever it needed to do. God said, go to Africa. He didn't tell me to send no money. He said, go there. And I went there in the condition I was in. And I got healed on the way. I've come to church. I've been to church with temperatures that were just outrageously high and got healed when I got to my destiny. My provision is at my destination. And the excuses are trying to keep me from my provision. That's why has to be a relevant. That's why there's got to be somebody in the midst that says, sweetheart, I hear you, but it's irrelevant. And if you can protect yourself from offenses and becoming offended, you'll get better. But most of us get offended. I can't believe he didn't understand. We don't understand. My children come first, not what you don't understand. Is that the God that gave you your children are well able to take care of your children if you will do what he tells you to do. He's looking for faithfulness. Why is it relevant? It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. But I've got a bunch of staff people that are led by the Holy Spirit that they come and tell me, well, we couldn't do that. And they just think I'm a hard man. They just think, like, they just think I'm a hard man. Well, he's just a hard man. Huh. I know about this God that I serve. And I can't tolerate somebody saying I can't do it because of that, or this happening, or that happening. Oh, but Pastor, you know, it was raining that day. I've never accepted small church attendance because it was raining. I remember one time I preached a sermon on the weather. Because my church needed to be trained. They needed to understand when it's raining. They don't sign to stay home. That's the biggest sign to get up at all costs and get here immediately. Get past your comfort zone. Get to your destination. People want to come to church tonight. Well, I want to come tonight, but, see, baby, you know, all you're doing is showing God he can't depend on you. You're not reliable. He wants to use you to be a blessing to somebody else, but he don't even know. He don't know how you're going to feel the next church service. So he's got to go find somebody he can. Somebody that's going to be faithful. Somebody that, you know, he said a steward. You know what a steward is? A steward is a manager. See, here's what God said about stewards. Stewards are found already faithful. They don't become faithful. They're first found faithful. That's the graduation from servant to steward. They're found faithful. God got to find you faithful. So now what have you done since you've been born again? What test have you passed? Thank you, brother. You know, my wife and I were talking about this today. I have to receive your gift for your account, that it may abound towards your account. I receive your gift, it abounds toward your account. You understand what I'm saying? I've been delivered from that. Faithful.
You know what? You know what? Even in that area, God says, can I depend on you to receive? Or are you going to act like these rest of these foolish preachers?
No, sister, you know you need that more than I do. I found out I have to hold on to this stuff a little bit and go home and cry. I said, God, please let the harvest come. He's got to be faithful to me. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because I got to be faithful to him. Ah, somebody's been healed on the right side of their back. I felt that right now. Now, let me give you some more scripture. Thank you, darling. What time? What time is it? A nice watch, brother. You're faster. Can I share something? I mean, and this just came from my spirit. Rick, stand up. Let me show you something. Let me just show you faithfulness. Rick used to be homeless. No place to stay. Something happened in his life. And every year, God keeps proving his faithfulness to him. And he proves his faithfulness back to God. Now, at this very point, he's the owner. How many? I think your wife oversees one of them.
Right.
And three. He now has three medical supplies.
Medical lab.
Three medical labs. Own. He the owner. Medical lab. Own a salon. What else you got, man?
Sales consultant.
You know what happened? When I travel around this country, they take time off and say, we're going to go help pastor. London, Australia, we'll be out there to help you. Because God blessed us and been faithful to us. Bless God, I'm going to be faithful to him. And the faithfulness towards God, and don't forget him when he bless you, is what keeps the blessing coming in your life. Faithfulness is the key. Honey, most people get successful and then they stay home. They get successful, then you don't see them no more. They're out of debt. Well, the Lord done bless me. Say amen. I don't see him no more. Well, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord, because as soon as you stop being faithful to him, he has no choice. Not because he wants to, but the faithfulness towards you will be hindered because of what you sow. The whole earth operates by the kingdom of God's system, which means a man sows a seed and then he reaps a harvest. Faithfulness is a seed sown and a harvest received. Okay. Look at this. Psalm 75. Have we seen that yet? Psalm 75, and then I'll finish this up on Friday. Or something. Look at verse 6 through 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west. How many of you got promotion on your mind? It doesn't come from the south. God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God's setting you up. I don't think you understand what he said. He says, I got enough power to demote one person and to promote another. I can sit down one and set up another. Got some old arrogant people walking around there at the head right now. But God said promotion don't come from the north. It don't come from the east. It doesn't come from the west. It doesn't come from your boss, man. It comes from me. I'm the one that'll set you up high. I'm the one that'll put you where I put you. I'm the one. Shout! Somebody glory to God.
this is something that's got to be practiced in every area of your life. You know, if I get this tape, I would wear this tape out. Because the faithful man abounds in blessing. Can God depend on you to get into His presence? Can God depend on you to pray for others when He tells you to? Can God depend on you to sow the seed so He can release it? What can God depend on you? Ask yourself, can God depend on me to minister to unsaved family members? Can God depend on me to be the middle person and reconciliation work through me? Can God depend on me? Whatever God needs to be done, can He depend on me to do it? Well, folks, answer the question. Let's go beyond religion. Thank you, sir. Let's go beyond the norm. Let's get off this mountain. We've been here long enough. It's time, I like what he said, it's time to come up hither. It's time to come up hither. You can't do that practicing sin. Practice faithfulness. Don't practice sin. If you've been looking at somebody's wife and doing that, maybe stop. Stop. You devil, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Stop. You better not look at my wife in no lustful way. We have an exorcism. Because that's my woman. My woman. Can't get enough of your love, baby. It's time to go to the anointing gong. Stand up. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Oh, God, your mercy and your love. We draw nigh to you, O God, that you will draw nigh to us. We come before you with faithfulness, that you'll come before us with faithfulness. We're not going to let excuses become the thing that keep us out of the supernatural. We're not going to let excuses rob us from the supernatural. We're not going to let sin rob us from the supernatural. We're ready to go to that next level. There is a level in you, God. Glory to God. There is a level in you that many haven't reached because of their lack of faithfulness. Well, Lord, we're going to break that barrier. We're going to break it in the name of Jesus. And we will arrive in the place that you have appointed for us. I give you praise now. We worship you, Lord. We receive this word right now. We judge our lives. We judge ourselves. You will be able to rely on us. You can rely on us. We don't know who's let you down, but you can rely on us. Lord, you look to and fro throughout the earth trying to find somebody you can use. And you said for those that know their God, you'll do great exploits for them. Well, look no further, God. You have found world changers. We're ready, Lord. We're ready, God. We're determined we're going to see your word work. We praise you, Lord. And all of the things that are going on and all the things that seem to stop us and get us distracted and intrude on our mind, we're greater than that, Lord, because the greater one lives on the inside of us. And there is nothing that we're being challenged with that is greater than the one that's living on the inside of us. Equipping us, guiding us, and leading us the way we should go. Glory. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Mohosa Baba, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. There are folks right now, Lord, in the hospital going through things, and your healing power, I send it now. I send your healing power, God. to those faithful believers right now who are being attacked in their body. And I send the word of healing to make them whole and well. Restore unto those who have lost. Renew unto us the joy of our salvation. Renew a right spirit. A right spirit. Oh God. With pure religion, God, we want you. We want you. Praise you, Jesus. Oh,
mentioned, this series goes on for three sets of six tapes each. These can be obtained from Creflo Dollar Ministries, P.O. Box 490124, College Park, Georgia, that's GA 30349 in the United States, or from other Creflo Dollar Ministries around the world. I really believe that this message on faithfulness is one of the keys to experiencing heaven on earth. At the same time, I must also stress that until we come to a place where we walk in the fullness of marriage, we will not come to a place where we walk in the fullness of our Christian walk. It just struck me as I was listening to this tape. The two go hand in hand. The next series of tapes that are in this series all address different aspects of the Christian walk. All of them are central to our walk in marriage. We cannot separate our marriages from our Christian walk. If our marriage is not the way God intended it to be, then our Christian walk is not the way God intended it to be. And this is a really important thing to recognize with regard to the ministry. We cannot be the prophet God called us to be until we're the husband God called us to be. Likewise, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, or the teacher. And it's really important for women to understand they cannot be the woman of God that God's called them to be until they are the wife that God's called them to be. God has called women to serve Him through their marriages, through their husbands. The husband is the head of the wife, just as Jesus Christ is the head of the husband. It is the husband's job to draw close to God, and the wife's job to draw close to her husband. She cannot serve God by getting into disagreement and disunity and disharmony with her husband. If she will press into God through her husband, she will press her husband towards God. If she bypasses him, she will come out of her covering, his covering, and will expose herself to all sorts of problems. We need to see that the point that was made in the teaching, a loving, kind, and sensitive God. Husbands, we need to ask ourselves, are we loving, kind, and sensitive? We need to draw the boundaries that we won't cross. We need to come to a place where we see a marriage which is heaven on earth as being part of our destiny. And we need to seek to accomplish that. I felt impressed just to include in this another teaching by Creflo Dollar, or part of it. It's entitled The Covenant Connector, and it refers to the tithe. It's a little booklet also from Creflo Dollar Ministries. Starting in the chapter is entitled The Earth is the Lord's. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, 1 Corinthians 10:26. We are owners of nothing, but called to be faithful stewards of all that God blesses us with. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, 1 Timothy 6:7. In other words, everything on the face of this earth belongs to God. Everything. There is absolutely nothing we brought into this world, and there is likewise nothing we can take with us when we leave. As simple as that is to grasp when it comes to most material things, Christians have traditionally been unable or unwilling to accept that idea when it comes to what they label as their money. The truth of the matter is, God has blessed you with whatever increase you obtain, and requires only that you return to Him the tithe or 10% of your increase. To tithe is to return to God 10% of what He has given you. Inherent in our willingness to tithe is the acknowledgement of God's ownership of everything in the earth, including our finances. Therefore, the tithe should be an expression of your appreciation and thanksgiving to God for what He has done in your life. It should not be seen as a burden or a loss, but should be seen as the opportunity it is for you to prosper in the things of God, and that includes prospering in your marriage. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd, or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai, Leviticus 27:30-34. Notice in the first verse we are told that the tithe belongs to the Lord. It is not yours or mine to do with whatever we choose, because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. In Proverbs 3:9 we are instructed to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. The substance of our finances is what we are to honor God, the Lord, with, thanking Him for the provision to have our needs met. The first fruits are equal to the tithe, so anywhere in the Bible it refers to first fruits, you know that also belongs to the Lord. Now, if you're a good businessman, you know the tithe of your business belongs to God. Only 90% of your business is yours, and the first fruits of all your profit should be presented as tithes in honor to the Lord. As a Christian, only 90% of your time is yours. The remainder should be spent in time of prayer, fasting, and communion with God. Likewise, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit on loan to you from above. It was purchased with a price, and on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account of how you carried yourself. What I need for you to see, child of God, is that tithing is not an option. It is not something that has been put up for a vote for us to decide whether or not it is the right thing to do. No. God says that the first fruit, the initial 10% of your increase, is His. It is dedicated and set aside for His use. Folks come up with all sorts of reasons as to why they should not, could not, or would not tithe. They say things like, well, it's an Old Testament thing, and since it's not mentioned in the New Testament, we don't have to tithe. Others try to justify not tithing by saying that God surely is not moved by something as basic as money. The problem is that up until now we've not understood God's heart on the subject, and in so doing have missed out on the blessings we're supposed to inherit through tithing. Working our way through Scripture, we will prove that tithing is a biblical mandate, a covenant issue, and an opportunity to honor God. Victory in your life is determined by how you handle the tithe. The tithe is holy. As we discovered in the previous chapter, the tithe is holy. It belongs to the Lord, and it is holy. Being holy has nothing to do with how you dress. It's not in outward things. Holiness is the state of being in agreement with God. It is the state of being of one mind with God. To be holy is to find out what the Bible says and to be in agreement with what God says. In the Old Testament, there was something else deemed holy and sacred unto God, and that was the Ark of the Covenant. the sacred portable chest, along with its two related items. The mercy seat and the cherubim was the most important sacred object to the Israelites during the wilderness period. Also known as the Ark of the Lord, it was the only article of furniture in the innermost room or holiest of holies of Moses' tabernacle and of Solomon's temple. This was something so special that a person could not just touch it irreverently. It was so holy that even if you touched it unintentionally, you would die. In the Bible, the word death is literally translated as a separation. And when a man touches the tithe, or mishandles the tithe, separation from God takes place. When you're holy, whatever the Bible says is wrong is what you say is wrong. Whatever the Bible says is right is what you say is right. If the Bible says that behaving in a certain way is sin, well, that's what you say is sin. That's holiness. Now, when he says the tithe is holy, and we understand the definition of holiness, then we begin to see the tithe as the thing that keeps us in agreement with what God has promised. God has given us a covenant, and then he has given us this system called tithing, which is an avenue by which we maintain or break agreement. To tithe is to maintain the agreement between you and God. On the contrary, to not tithe is to break agreement with God. Tithing the tithe is the process by which you present your tenth to Jesus, our high priest, the author and finisher of our faith. When you are tithing the tithe, you are constantly confirming your agreement with God and with the covenant promises attached to the tithe. The problem most people have with Leviticus 27 is that it's in the Old Testament. Because it is located in that portion of the Bible, most people will say they don't have to receive that as a commandment from God and believe that we're governed only by the New Testament. Well, folks, this is what I perceive concerning this New Testament-Old Testament issue. If we're not obligated to keep the entire Bible, then God would have only given us the New Testament. You may have been led to believe that, since some publishers only print those little green Bibles that only include the books from Matthew to Revelation. Now, we do live under the New Testament, but the Old Testament is a foreshadow and a foundation. It acts as a column to hold up the beliefs and confirm the position of the New Testament. But how obligated are you? Is this just an Old Testament issue? Can you just ignore the commandments about tithing because you consider yourself a New Testament Christian? Well, now, let's back up a little bit. Let's go to the book of Genesis and answer this question. Let's decide once and for all if this is an Old Testament issue or if it is a covenant issue. The second chapter of Genesis begins the saga of a man by the name of Adam. He was, as you may know, the first man we see in the restructuring of the earth. I didn't say he was the first man on the earth, but that's a discussion for another book, another time. God is talking to Adam. He gives him the garden authority, and all these other neat things, and makes promises of what is to come. Then in Genesis 2:16 and 17, he says, "Of every tree of the garden thou must eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Well, in fact, he could only eat 90% of the garden. God specifically told Adam not to eat of the dedicated tree. God was telling Adam that they would be able to maintain the agreement they had just as long as Adam did not touch that which was God's. The success of their agreement was based on whether or not Adam touched the dedicated thing. As far as God was concerned, if that happened, the agreement was off, and he would have to separate from Adam. You're probably saying, he did eat of the tree, and the Bible says he was going to die, but yet he lived several hundred more years. There was still a death, a separation that took place in that situation. The glory that Adam had been walking in, the promise to walk like God and be like God, was over. He touched God's stuff, and since he touched God's stuff, the agreement was off, not to be reinstated until someone came along to redeem the crime. I think it's important to understand that tithing is an absolutely fundamental part of our covenant with God. If you're not tithing, you cannot reasonably expect God to heal your marriage, and you cannot reasonably expect to have ongoing revelation from the Word of God. Tithing is such a fundamental principle of and part of our covenant that if you're not tithing, I would urge you forthwith to commence tithing in Jesus' name. That completes the message on faithfulness, and I'm sure you can see just how absolutely central faithfulness is to this message on marriage, and what a critical component it is of seeking to bring heaven to earth in marriage. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to blow away by your Spirit anything that I've spoken that is not according to your word, and anything that has been spoken in the teaching incorporated in here that is not according to your word. And I ask you that all that is of you, Lord, in all that is contained on this tape, will find deep root in the hearts of the hearers, and take root and grow, and produce abundant fruit in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face to shine upon you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. This message has been recorded by A Church Without Walls, a ministry of End Time Issue Ministries, P.O. Box 898, Rand Park Ridge, Randburg 2156, Republic of South Africa. We can be contacted by email at james@endtimeissues.org.za. I'll spell that james@end-time-issues.org.za. Our phone numbers, international dialing code, normally 0027, but this may vary from country to country. The 27 is standard. Our landline, 0027 11 791 2327, or in South Africa, 011 791 2327. My mobile number, 0027 83 251 6644, and in South Africa, 083-251-6644. Our fax number internationally, 0027-11-791-5004, and locally, 011-791-5004. All materials produced by this ministry are available at no cost to those who require them, irrespective of financial means. At the same time, donations and offerings are clearly welcome to support the work. We pray that this message has blessed you, and that it will assist you in your service of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.